thing was before we finish up the last little bit of it. Does anybody need an outline that hasn't gotten one? Okay. So, for the sake of time, we're just going to go right to letter C. Letter C. We've been studying the schooling for the disciples, the scriptures for the disciples, and now we're going to jump right into letter C, the stewardship for the disciples. And so as we begin and close out this portion of the commensurate prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's begin reading again in John chapter 17, and we'll read verses 6 through 8 and then begin. The Bible said in John 17, beginning in verse number 6, I have manifested my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely I came out from thee, and thou hast and they have believed that thou didst send me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord. We thank you for this time now that we can delve into your word. We pray, Father, as we would finish up this portion of the consummate prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, you be a help to us. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we're looking at letter C. We're studying the stewardship of the disciples. So as we looked in part in John chapter 7, verses 6, 8, and verse number 10, we find these words. They have kept thy word, they know. They have received thy words. They have believed, and I am glorified in them. And so you can, if that's not written down in your notes, you can write down John 17, 6 through 8 and verse number 10. As we think about the stewardship of the disciples, notice first of all, number one, they received the word. In verse number 8, it said, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Really, what this means is that the disciples respected the word of God. They respected the word of God for what it is. And they respected, I believe, because who gave it to them? They didn't reject it. They didn't dishonor it. They didn't mock it. They didn't make fun of it. And when the words, when Jesus Christ taught them, they received the word. And not only received as means taking it in, but understand it means this. They welcomed it into their lives. It's one thing just to hear something, but it's another thing to welcome it into your lives. It means that they made application to their life. So they received the word, but they noticed something else. Notice they obeyed the word. The Bible said in verse number 6, they have kept thy word. There's a lot involved in that word kept. It gives the idea to attend to. It gives the idea of being observed. And there's no doubt that obedience is literally a big part of that. Too many people today admire the word, but they don't obey the word. You know what? We can look at the Bible and we can hold the Bible up, and people will say, "Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful book, and we ought to admire it, we ought to read it, we ought to like it." But you know what? Too many people admire it, but they don't obey it. And a lot of times, I find in our Christian walk that we'll find ourselves doing the same thing. We'll say, "Oh, this is the King James Bible, 1611." As a matter of fact, when I was at the funeral home, you know, you have to go there and they open up the books for the little memorial cards, and you can pick literally probably 200 poems and pictures and stuff. And so the lady that we were dealing with, she said, "Well, how about Footprints?" And I'm like, "I despise that Footprints. I don't even like that poem. We're not doing that." So my sister and I started reading it. And my sister, she goes to a church that not necessarily is King James, but the pastor preaches with King James, but they feel you can use whatever you want. My sister reads King James. So we're trying to read these some verses that were going to be there. And she said, "This would be a lot better if it was King James, wouldn't it, David?" I said, "You're exactly right." And so we picked out a passage of scripture that we saw, and I told the lady, "Now listen, I like number 123. I want you to put that on Miles' memorial card, but I want it in King James Version." I said, "Listen, not New King James. I mean King James Version." And she said, "I got you, Pastor." And she said, "I'm a minister too." And I said, She said, and I only use the King James. I got you covered, amen. So it was a shock and a delight, amen. So I had a minister among us, amen. So praise the Lord. And so, you know, I'm just saying this, that we ought to be more than just believing. And then notice something else in John chapter 8, notice number 3, they believed in Christ. They have believed that thou didst send me. The disciples were in a minority, if you really think about it. But you know what? They were in a good minority. You know why? Because they believed in Christ. So that, you know, outlines and relates to you and I, that you could be in a minority at work. But if you're a believer in Christ and want to follow Christ and obey Christ, guess what? That's a good minority to be in, amen? And you're far above everyone else. What you believe about Christ literally determines your eternal destiny. And that's a hard time to try to get lost people to understand that what you believe about Jesus Christ determines your destiny. Because they'll say this, well, you know, hell, he was a good man. You know, he was a good man, did a lot of great things. And boy, I like him. I never put him down. I don't take God's name in vain, but it's even more than that. What you believe about Jesus Christ as being the Son of God determines your eternal destiny. I think Peter made the right confession for all the disciples when he said this in John 6 and verse number 69. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we find that Peter took it a little bit above. Not only did he say, I believe, he said, I'm sure. So when you get excited like Peter did, no doubt speaking of Christ, I thought perhaps you and I ought to be excited as well. Then notice number 4. As we think of the stewardship for the disciples, the Bible says they increased in knowledge. Notice verse 7 and 8. They have known all things whatsoever thou hast give me are of thee. And then the last part of verse number 8, have known surely that I come out of thee. Notice the extent of the knowledge. And it's seen in these words, known all things. The disciples' knowledge wasn't just a little bit of knowledge. It wasn't just like the Lord just gave them a little bit and said, that's going to be enough. No, he said, they have known all things. And Christ desires that we be filled with the same spiritual knowledge that the disciples were filled with. Does that mean the disciples knew everything about Christ, everything about his first coming, everything about his second coming? Certainly not, but it does mean this, that they didn't have to go away hungry. That means that Christ filled him with a spiritual knowledge, and they believed and heard and applied it to their life as well. And they increased in knowledge. The problem is most Christians don't take the time to have more than just a little bit of knowledge. We come in Sunday morning, we hear the pastor preach, we listen to a great Sunday school message, and we think, glory, hallelujah, I'm good for the rest of the week until we come back on Wednesday. But the truth of the matter is that we need to take the time to spend in God's word in order that we might know all things. Notice the effect, letter B, the effect. The effect, if the knowledge is seen, is simply this: have surely known. That's the effect. The extent of the knowledge is that they know all things. The effect of the knowledge is have surely known. The disciples had become certain in their knowledge of Christ. And that's why Peter could say in John 6 and verse 69, we believe and are sure. Because they heard, and then the extent of the knowledge is that they know, and the effect is they have surely known. So we could stand and give a double testimony to what Christ has done for them. You know, we as well need to be certain in our area of our spiritual life. It's not just to know, but we need to be certain. Some people think they're saved. Listen, I don't think I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I don't think I'm going to go to heaven. I know I am going to heaven. And so I think that we should be like the disciples. And the effect of really increased knowledge is that we have a surety and we have a known knowledge of the doctrine of Christ. The devil thrives on the uncertainty in our life. The devil thrives on the uncertainty of you not knowing doctrine in your life. And if you don't know at least the basic tenets of the scriptures, your life is going to be filled with doubt and fear because you're not going to have spiritual knowledge. You're not going to have surely known like the disciples knew. And we could actually lead to apostasy because your ignorance of God's word. You know, most people that turn away from God's word don't turn away because they just don't like something. They turn away is because they don't have the knowledge of what God's word has to say. And so look at number five, and then we'll be done. Notice that they glorified Christ. They glorified Christ. In verse number 10, the Bible says, I am glorified in them. That word in also could be translated as by. And so Jesus was saying, I am glorified by them. I am glorified in them because of their increase in knowledge, because they believed, and because they had this knowledge. He said, I receive honor and glory for that. And I believe that the disciples honor Christ. And when you have received, when you have obeyed, and when you have believed, guess what you're going to do? You will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we close tonight, understand this, that as stewards, we are to receive the word of God. And that literally means believing it. And after we believe it, we are to obey it. And then the results of us receiving and obeying are clearly laid out by what Jesus said in this prayer. There'll be increased knowledge. And when we as God's believers have increased in our knowledge, God will be honored and glorified in and through our life. So I wonder if you apply these simple lessons from the commencement prayer of Jesus Christ in your life tonight. So we'll stop here for tonight, and next week we'll pick up with a new sheet for you to fill out, and we'll begin looking at the supplicating for the disciples, the supplicating for the disciples. So as I close tonight, very quickly, I just want to share with you as after all my nieces and nephews, they left the house on Saturday evening after our family gathering. I was able to have time just to kind of straighten up just a little bit, and you know me, some people do crossword puzzles and do other things, and when I are thinking about things and praying about things, I like to clean, I like to straighten up, keep things neat. So I was doing that. I looked over and saw my mother's Bible sitting on the table. And in her Bible, she had, underneath her Bible, was a Christian magazine called Mature Living that my mother gets, I believe. I'm not sure if it's a Southern Baptist one or if it's put out by Lifeway, so it's a Southern Baptist thing. And I told my mom, I don't hold that against her. She loved Jesus. She was saved and born again. I said, when you get to heaven, you'll get to the right church up there. Amen. And that was kind of our little joke amongst ourselves.